When we conceal sin, we pay a heavy price. The weight of guilt can be crushing, and finding forgiveness is crucial. David expressed his journey toward finding forgiveness in Psalm 32. The process involves total honesty with God and with those we have offended. Today, experiencing the freedom that comes in making things right with both God and man. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on When God Shows Himself. We're in Psalm 32, talking about receiving God's forgiveness, something Erwin Lutzer had to do during his seminary days.
Have you ever tried to manage sin that you're not willing to face? I forget how much further it was in the school year, maybe just a couple of days, as I recall. We had a communion service at the seminary. And my conscience troubled me so much. I was in so much misery. When that service was over, I spoke to no students. I went directly to the prop's office. He wasn't there. I waited until he came. Didn't have an appointment. Sat down, said, "There's something on my mind I need to tell you." I cheated in that Greek class, and I told him. Now, he was very gracious to me. But you know what? At that moment, I wouldn't have cared too greatly if he had said, "Hey, you flunked the whole semester." I would have hurt, but I'd have been willing to flunk the semester because the hand of God's misery was so much upon me. I couldn't function with the hand of God on my life because of sin that I had committed. And you know, that's the only thing that brings us to repentance, is when our misery in our sin is greater than our desire for self-protection. See, that's why it sometimes has been said that there are psychiatrists who are trying to put people to sleep whom God is trying to wake up. I can't sleep. Well, there are many reasons, and taking medication for sleep is perfectly fine. I've done it once in a while, especially to overcome jet lag. But there are times when the hand of God is on you, and you'd better listen to what God is saying, and you'd better give God time to show you what the problem is within your soul. That's the first lesson. Let me give you a second. God would rather bring one of his children to repentance. God would rather bring one of his children to repentance than maintain his reputation in the world. Let me tell you why I say that. In the case of David, when Nathan was speaking the word of God to him, this is what God said. God says, "David, you've caused the enemies, my enemies, to blaspheme. Because, you see, word spread from the palace all throughout the nations that David was an adulterer and a murderer." Everybody knew it. I mean, if the king does it, it gets talked about. It's not in the Jerusalem Post, CNN. Couldn't pick up the story at that time yet, of course, but certainly people talked. And God says, "You know what, David, because of your sin, you made me look bad." Because all the other nations are saying, "Oh, King David worships God, but just look at him. He's just as bad as everybody else." And they couldn't contain their glee over this king who pretended to know God to act this way. So why didn't God participate in the cover-up? Why didn't he have Uriah go home, cover up David's sin? I mean, God would have looked better. God says, "I'm willing to have my reputation tainted in the eyes of the world to get through to one of my servants who is hiding sin and won't come clean." Wow. Either we will cover our sin, or we'll expose it and let God cover it. Third, the world is really divided into two categories of people. Not a racial divide or educational or geographical divide. Two categories, the forgiven and the unforgiven. And if you talk about the unforgiven, there are two categories. First of all, there are those who are unconverted. They've never been forgiven. And many of you who are listening fit into that category. And you know probably who you are if you're dead, honest. But then there are also those who are Christians. They have received Jesus Christ as Savior, and they belong to Him. And legally and judicially, their sins have been forgiven by God. He has imputed to them the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But they're out of fellowship. And they're out of fellowship because they don't want to deal with issues that God brings to their attention. Like that man who purports to be a Christian, fills out a form for workers' compensation. Says on the form that the accident happened at work. It didn't happen at work. It happened when he was hunting. But he fills it out, and now every month receives a check that was obtained fraudulently. His pastor said to him, "Now, aren't you willing to come clean on this? You have to confess that. You have to make it right." And his response is, "Do you think that I'm stupid? If I went to the labor relations board and told them that I had signed a document fraudulently, they'd throw me in jail." The pastor says, "There are some things that are even worse than jail. One is the hand of God on your life, day and night, reminding you that you have sinned, that you've not taken care of. There is something worse than jail, and that is displeasing God." And then there are those who are unforgiven, who've never been converted. For you don't begin by confessing your sin. Did you know that? Martin Luther confessed his sin 6 hours at a time in the monastery in Erfurt and was not converted. First of all, you can't remember all of your sins. Secondly, tomorrow's another day with new sins. And so you're kind of in a cycle. No, what you need to do is you need to accept Jesus as your substitute. You need to receive Him as Savior, so that He gathers up all of your sins in one bundle, and through your faith and through His work to give you the ability to believe, you are then converted. Your name is written in heaven, and you belong to God thanks to Jesus. You say, "Well, how was David saved? He was in the Old Testament. Jesus hadn't come yet." Yeah, that's right. Jesus was still more than 1,000 years before Jesus would come. But already then, the Bible teaches us very clearly that God was imputing. David was saved on credit. We all know what credit cards are. We enjoy it today, we pay for it today, but actually then we pay for it further down the line. God says, "David, you're going to be saved because Jesus is coming. And your sin will eventually be imputed to Christ, who is the only Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so even way back then, God says, "I'm going to take your sin and I'm going to put it away, but not permanently, because Jesus hasn't come yet to make that perfect sacrifice." And so David, too, was forgiven by Jesus. And what you need to do is to receive Him as your sin bearer, as your Savior. I urge you to believe on Him. There was a man who was walking along a seashore, and he looked back over the trail that he was creating along the beach, and he noticed it was helter-skelter. It was because he had been walking absent-mindedly. It wasn't going anywhere in particular, and he looked back and he said, "You know, that's the story of my life. Not going anywhere in particular, just kind of waltzing through life aimlessly." He spent some time in the home of a friend, and then he walked back the same way and expected to see his footprints, but they were gone because the tide had come and God was giving him a new beginning. Blessed are they whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. So I ask myself the question, as I ask you the question today: Are we willing to come honestly, openly, and say, Jesus, here I am, exposed in your presence, begin there. Then going to those possibly whom we have wronged, but saying at all costs, I want to be right before God and man. Let's pray. Our Father, we want to thank you today for this marvelous psalm. We thank you that there was a time when David finally decided that your hand was too heavy upon him. And then his iniquity was acknowledged. I don't know what represents here in this congregation. There may be those who are involved in adulterous relationships, sinful relationships among singles. Whatever it is, we ask in the name of Jesus. Perhaps there's been stealing, dishonesty. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you enable us to come clean? How many of you say this morning, Pastor Lutzer, God has spoken to me and I'm willing to come clean? Would you put your hands up? All throughout the audience. I see people in all three sections doing it. What about in the balcony? Any of you say, God has talked to me. I want to come clean. Father, grant grace, O God, we pray, to each. And for the many who didn't raise their hands, may your hand be upon them for good. And we pray that the day may come when they say, yes, whatever, whatever, I'll be obedient. Do that, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and of course, I'm speaking to some people today, and you know what is in your heart. Your conscience is troubling you. And for some of you, it may be good for you to go to your pastor and to receive some counsel as to what course of action you should take. Because there's something in your life that has been hidden. And maybe it is true that God has forgiven you. That helter-skelter walk that I talked about in the message has been covered legally. And yet you know that there's something that you need to make right with others before your conscience is perfectly clear before God and before men. And then there are some of you, if you really did come clean, it would cost you a lot, wouldn't it? Because it would mean you'd have to go back to people whom you have wronged, people perhaps whom you have lied to, situations that you have created to make yourself look favorable that were very deceitful. And God may be asking you to straighten all of that up. But if you do, it will be worth it. That nagging that you continue to rationalize and continue to cover up, the best way to do it is to face it in God's presence. Receive help even as you need to receive help, until you can say with a sense of deep assurance, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, and who is right with God and man.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Today, Dr. Erwin Lutzer concluded, When We Are Forgiven, the third of four studies in the Psalms in a series on When God Shows Himself. Tomorrow, join us as we turn to Psalm 37 to see what happens when we wait for God. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Our four-part series on When God Shows Himself can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about When God Shows Himself. Visit our website at runningtowin.org, and don't forget, Running to Win is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next edition of Running to Win.